but to our correspondent in Canberra now, a little bit early, but not too early, Karen Middleton. Welcome.
Hi there, Catherine.
So tell us a little bit more. New South Wales is now grappling with this cluster just as Melbourne starts to wind down. We've had a Sydney visitor and we are dealing now with contact tracing and advice on a Sydney visitor to New Zealand who's since tested positive. But just how is that Sydney cluster tracking?
Well, they're very concerned about it, and the other states are now starting to respond as they have in the past and suggest that they might be closing their borders to people from Greater Sydney. The governments have been tending towards a sort of hotspots approach to this, where if you're, you know, in a particularly confined hotspot, for example, in this case, the eastern suburbs of Sydney around Bondi originally, that was where, you know, they were focusing on restricting movements and the like and encouraging people to take extra care. But now I think we seem to be reverting to the old border thing. Victorian government is saying they don't want people from Greater Sydney coming into the state, and there'll be restrictions on anyone who tries. So, look, I think, you know, we're defaulting to those positions. The cluster at the moment around that started in Bondi is 21 people, but it's moved beyond Bondi to other parts of Sydney. And, of course, as you say, we've now seen that one of these infected people went to New Zealand for the weekend, which was always the fear with the so-called travel bubble that we have between our two countries, that this kind of thing could occur. So that bubble has now been suspended. So there is concern. Victoria, of course, is now sort of eased off after restrictions in across the whole state of Victoria and the city of Melbourne when they experienced a cluster. They did manage to shut it down, but they were closed down and confined to their homes for 2 weeks. So nobody in Sydney wants that to happen. Sydney life has been up and running again. The theatres are working. People are out and about, and they don't want to see restrictions as they did back in January when there was a cluster on the northern beaches. So we watch with trepidation.
There's a second flight as well that you reference in your notes that has been added to the Australia list. Can you just explain?
Well, look, there's some confusion here about Thursday night versus Friday night on the outbound flights. The newspapers are saying that was Qantas, the outbound flight from Sydney was Qantas flight 163 on Thursday evening from Sydney to Wellington, and return flight Air New Zealand flight 247 on Sunday. So it's a little bit, it's a bit confused, so I apologise that I haven't had a chance to check that this morning.
But it relates to the same case.
That might be where the confusion lies.
Yeah.
It's the same case.
Right.
It's exactly the same case.
Understood.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what's happening with your mask wearing, which I'm sure is a conversation we're about to have quite intensively in this country, and particularly in the capital. What is the story with mask wearing where this cluster is or in Sydney?
The people have been instructed to wear masks in public places. That's the primary mode of trying to restrict this at this particular point. So people are not at this stage confined to their homes, but they are being encouraged to wear masks. I didn't check the early this morning whether that had been updated, but I think that that's the latest the latest requirement. And certainly people going to shopping retail venues are now going to have to use a QR check-in code. So there's a QR check-in code system in around the country in different states, which is unhelpful, I would have thought. But the New South Wales code people have been requested to do that wherever they go, but now they're being required to do it with a QR code to try and more closely trace. Particularly like when you're in a big shopping centre like the Westfield venue where this is centred, you know, individual shops make a difference. And this variant obviously is very infectious.
Now Barnaby's back, the accidental New Zealander. And now
That's right. The accidental New Zealander, who's now just an Australian, who was the Deputy Prime Minister and then wasn't, is again. This all came sort of out of the blue sky a bit over the weekend. There's been some unhappiness with the former Deputy Prime Minister, Michael McCormack, who took the job after Barnaby Joyce lost his job 3 years ago. They felt that Michael McCormack wasn't performing very well. Unfortunately for Michael McCormack, he was acting Prime Minister last week while Scott Morrison, the Prime Minister, was overseas observing at the G7 in the UK, and Parliament was sitting. So there was a lot of focus on Michael McCormack and his performance, and that became a bit of a catalyst, but I suspect that this was in the works for a little while. The final week of parliamentary sittings before the parliament rises, either for the winter in the middle of the year or for the summer at the end of the year, is known here rather unfortunately as the killing season, because it tends to be when, if there's going to be a leadership challenge, it tends to be when it occurs. And that is the case here. So the rumours emerged over the weekend and Barnaby Joyce was the beneficiary of, he had some colleagues who were his supporters who ended up moving a spill motion, and he was the beneficiary of that on Monday. But the other issue that really was in focus in relation to this is the whole issue yet again, Catherine, of our approach to climate change, response to climate change. Barnaby Joyce represents the Conservative wing of the Nationals Party here, which is the rural party in coalition with the Liberals in government. And there is a wing of the Conservative Nationals that are very concerned about further action on climate change. They're very pro-fossil fuels, particularly coal mining. Barnaby Joyce is in that camp. And there was a concern that Scott Morrison, under pressure from internationally now with the change of administration in the US, was moving more towards net zero emissions by 2050. That constituency behind Barnaby Joyce doesn't want that. Now, it's been suggested in the last couple of days that he would push back very heavily on any further shift. But this morning there are suggestions they might be prepared to do a deal, but they will extract a price for it. And that will always be a headache for Scott Morrison. So overall, this is kind of difficult for the Prime Minister. It's given rise to issues, including issues with women, because that's why Barnaby Joyce lost his job in the first place, allegations of sexual harassment that he denied, and an extramarital affair with his staffer, with whom he now has two children. So the issues that Prime Minister had with women earlier this year will be resurrected as a result of this. But Barnaby's a great campaigner, and that's why they've re-elected him.
So stand by for the Weatherboard 9.
Yeah.
Free the Weatherboard 9. I shouldn't make fun of his accent. I apologise. Thank you so much. Karen Middleton from Canberra, the Air Australia correspondent.